You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci, welcome to the program that puts his money where his fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Television Network. Let's do this thing. I'm fired up for the program today. Mark Lawrence, playbook.com, is going to join us. We got a bowl game on the board this evening. SMU and Louisiana Tech. I'm fired up to talk to Mark Lawrence. His playbook bowl specials, the best in the business, gets you, you know, breaks down, gives you everything that you need to know for each and every bowl game. Bowl season starting to pick up tonight, and of course this weekend there'll be a ton of bowl games, and then next week, and then bowl season is in full flight. Chris Meaney's going to join us. We'll talk some NFL football from a DFS perspective. We'll crunch some NFL numbers with Mark Lawrence as well. We'll talk some NHL hockey, some NBA basketball on the program today. We got something for everybody. I got a ton of picks for you as well. Last night we gave you Florida Atlantic minus the points. They absolutely massacred the Akron Zips like we told you that they would. Unfortunately, we didn't hit the over because the Zips just couldn't put the ball in the end zone. But I like tonight's college football bowl game as well. I also like what I'm seeing from the Las Vegas Golden Knights. We'll talk some hockey with Chris Meaney. The Knights did it again last night, man. It's unbelievable. I mean, they keep on, you know, they get down to nothing. It doesn't matter. They come back. Cleveland Cavaliers tried to come back last night against the Milwaukee Bucks, but they fell short. Cavaliers are still 18-2 in their last 20 basketball games. Speaking of red-hot basketball teams, Houston Rockets host the Los Angeles Lakers tonight. Rockets have won 14 consecutive games. They're gunning for their 15th consecutive win, and 15 is the key number because they're laying 15 points in this game this evening. So listen, we've got a lot of stuff to get to. I want to cover a lot of bases. I don't know, man. I'm not saying this is the best show in the world, but you'd be hard-pressed to find a show that gives you as much information about as many different sports as we do on a daily basis. And we're going to give you fantasy advice today. We're talking NHL hockey. We got picks for every sport, college basketball, NBA basketball, college football, NFL football, you name it, we got it. We're breaking it down. Last night we gave it to Las Vegas Golden Knights, and the Las Vegas Golden Knights did it again, man. It's getting crazy. They are going to make the playoffs. Like, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about this anymore. They're going to make the playoffs. They already have 22 freaking wins, man. You know, like, really, they could stumble for the rest of the season and pretty much still make the playoffs at this point. The National Hockey League and the structure that they have with their points, it's tough to catch up. If you get a lead, it's hard for other teams to catch up because basically everybody gets a point on a nightly basis. I don't think anybody, from Gary Bettman to Gerald Gallant to Foley, the dude that owns the Golden Knights, thought that they were going to be this good. And, you know, Gallant's doing a hell of a job with this hockey team. Listen, I'm a big hockey guy. I grew up playing hockey, and, you know, I grew up in a hockey family. Or at least half my family. So I'm a big hockey guy, but I find regular season hockey, hockey's an intense sport, but, you know, hockey games can be a little bit boring with the dump and chase and the, you know, the neutral zone traps and the walls and all this type of stuff of the modern game. The Las Vegas Golden Knights are actually a fun team to watch. Like, it's freaking entertaining, and it's also very, very profitable as well. These guys are an over machine, man. They're an over machine. I think they're like, I think now it's like 21 overs, 10 unders, and a couple of pushes on the season. You know, if you've just bet on Vegas every night and you bet on the over every game, you're killing it. You're absolutely like, you're slaying the book right now. Nobody's seen this coming. You know, Marc-Andre Fleury was sort of the sacrificial lamb by the Pittsburgh Penguins. Marc-Andre Fleury, man, the guy's one of the best goalies in the league right now. I mean, it's amazing. And then they go to their backup goalies. Malcolm Subban comes in. He starts stopping pucks. So, you know, this is the best start ever for any expansion team, obviously. But not just in the National Hockey League. This is the best. They're probably the best expansion team ever in any sport, literally and figuratively. Now, yeah, we can go back to the 1916, 1917 era and talk about, like, the New York Rangers and how good they were. Everyone was new. You know what I mean? The Rangers are new. The Montreal Canadiens, it's like the Montreal Wanderers were still playing in those days. You ever heard of them? No, right? It's a little different. Like, no team in any sport has come in and did this before. Yet, I got a great memory, but I will be honest with you. the Florida Panthers kind of flew under the radar a little bit. So let's just crunch some numbers right now. Vegas are 22 wins, 9-0-2. I don't even know what that means. Lifelong NHL fan, what do the standings mean? I don't know. Overtime this, shootout loss that. I hate that crap, man. Hate that crap. So, yeah, they're 22-9-2. The Florida Panthers in 1993-94, they're pretty much the benchmark. The Florida Panthers are known as, like, the best expansion team of any sport, actually. Pretty impressive, man. They put up 83 points. All right, Vegas already have 46 points, and we're not even at Christmas yet. We're not even at the halfway mark yet. Vegas already have 46 points. There's no end in sight right now. And people look at their schedule and stuff, and it seems like they play every night at home, and they sort of do. But I looked at their schedule for the rest of the year. They have, like, a little road trip to the south, NASCAR territory. You know, like Carolina, Tampa type stuff. Other than that, like, they've already done their East Coast Canadian swing. They've already done the West Coast Canadian swing. They don't really have a killer road trip coming up that's going to bury them. So when it's all said and done, they're going to surpass 83 points. Now, to put it in perspective, the 1974-75 Washington Capitals, they had 21 points. And I believe our man McCormick on the other side of the glass has a soft spot in his heart for the Capitals. And, you know, I'm an old dude, man. I used to go to every Montreal Canadian game every Saturday night. All right? So every Saturday night I grew up, I went to the Canadians. Not a bad time to do it in the 70s either, right? But it used to suck. I don't know what it was, but they would never play the Boston Bruins. They never play the Flyers. They never play anyone good on Saturday nights. For some reason, like, my memories of a child going to Montreal Canadian games are of the Washington Capitals and the Canadians beating them like 6-1, like all the time. Like, I swear to God, like, my one of my first childhood memories is thinking, this team has cool jerseys, but man, are they bad. Like, even as a kid, I liked the Capitals jerseys. They were freaking terrible. Terrible. How terrible? I remember this era. They had 21 points in the entire year. That's the worst expansion team ever. Let's put in perspective of some of the other leagues. Now, we should note Vegas were 120-1 to win the Stanley Cup before the year started. I told people I wouldn't take it if it was 1,020-1. I'm an idiot. Now it's 22-1. Okay? So are they going to make the Cup? I don't know. Probably not. But yeah, let's start putting it in perspective of some of the other teams in history. You know, the Carolina Panthers, they went 7-9. You know, Carolina Panthers went 7-9. Damn good first year. You know, not this type of damage. And the crazy thing is, the Las Vegas Golden Knights, they didn't even, like, want to do this. They're sort of like the Buffalo Bills. Like, the Bills traded away a ton of players. Let's build for the future. Let's get picks. That's what Las Vegas did, except they fell ass backwards into these, you know, I don't know, man, these hungry players, fast players, energetic players. They're offensively explosive. They're well-coached, and they're getting good goaltending. They're not going anywhere. And something that I learned living in Las Vegas, if you're standing at a roulette wheel and you're betting on red and black and it comes up black every night, don't bet on red. Bet on black, baby. Golden Knights are for real. Game time decision continues.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Game time decisions on a Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenzitz. Welcome Mark Lawrence, playbook.com, to the program. Let's talk some Bulls. Let's talk some NFL football. Let's talk a little NBA basketball. We're going to run the gauntlet. In fact, I got 10 games on the docket. We'll go rapid fire through each and every one of these 10 games, bowl games, NFL games, basketball games. Mark Lawrence, playbook.com. If you want to win in the bowl season, Mark's put a lot of work into the bowl special. He's got crib notes, ATS trends, and predictions for every bowl game, and of course college basketball, NFL picks in there as well. Let's bring in Mark. Happy holidays, Mark. Always a pleasure. How you doing?
Hey, my pleasure, Gabe. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas to you as well. Looking forward to not only the holidays, but the bowl games just ahead.
Well, you know, one thing I'm looking forward to, hopefully we get back to Costa Rica again. But I have fond memories of the IFBC, and
I'll bet you do.
I'm sure some people.
I know.
Some people remember that one of the teams I talked about during my presentation was the Florida Atlantic Owls, and man, the win total was 4.5. Mark, you don't get credit for the bowl win, so you know the official win total was 10, but they end up finishing the season with 11 wins, and you agreed with that pick, and I remember you and I talking about Florida International as well. And we said, yeah, everyone's talking about Lane Kiffin, but let's not forget about what Butch is doing and going to do with Florida International. And their win total was like 5. And it went up to 5.5 at some spots. They both easily surpassed that number this year, Mark.
You know, Gabe, between, if you will, Florida Atlantic, Florida International, Central Florida, and South Florida, they completely outplayed both the Florida Gators and Florida State this year. Black eyes to both of those big time programs. And you were right spot on with the Florida Atlantic call. You doubled the win total in your call in that football game. I know you were really pumped up about them. You were pumped up about Lane Kiffin, the cheater that he is, how he'll keep his foot on your throat throughout the whole game. We saw that in the bowl win last night when he went for 2 when he was up by 34 points in the football game. Great job by you. Great overcall on Florida Atlantic.
I appreciate that, Mark. And, yeah, we were enthusiastic. One of the reasons we thought the Lane Kiffin, Kendall Briles and company would eat these coaches alive in the conference, and they did. So Lane Kiffin gets a 10-year deal. Is he going to stay there for 10 years? Probably not, but he has to stay at least for another year. And sort of reminds me of the Houston Cougars a little bit from years ago with Tom Herman when they started building things up. And, you know, interestingly enough, Florida Atlantic. Listen, I thought it was a shame that they played Akron at a bowl game. You know, they're a 10-win team. They should have played someone of their equal capability.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But, you know, it's such a business now. And Lane Kiffin admitted it. And he said, we wouldn't have been able to sell the tickets in a bigger bowl game. Like, you have to sell 15, 20,000, you know, a lot of tickets. Florida FAU couldn't even pretend to want to do it. Some teams will do it, and then they end up losing millions of dollars going to these bowl games. So Florida Atlantic said no. But Lane Kiffin's got something going. This is just his first year here, and not bad that signing day starts today, and he puts on that show the night before signing day too, Mark.
Yeah, that was a good point handicapping that game, which I completely overlooked about signing day being the day after the bowl game. So you know he was going to go out balls to the wall in that football game to impress, and impress he did.
Yeah, and he did, and guess who he opens up with next year? September the 1st at Norman, Oklahoma.
Lincoln Riley and the Oklahoma Sooners. That will be one heck of a football game to get in on. And I can tell you this, as soon as they post that total, you got to get in on the over.
You got to get in on the over. All right, so speaking of which, the question is, do we have to get in on the over of tonight's football game? And I'll have to say yes. I mean, we've seen these bowl games. First off, out of the gate, Mark, it was Dog City over the weekend, wasn't it, an opening day.
You know, yeah, four out of six dogs win straight up, right? Exactly.
Yeah, four out of the six win straight up. And I think we could have 5 out of the 7 here with Louisiana Tech, yet the betting market has agreed. The number keeps coming down, man. Now it's down to 3.5. What's your opinion on the coaching change with Chad Morris going to Arkansas and now Sonny Dykes taking over?
Well, I think, first of all, I think that's the best offseason coaching hire of all, Chad Morris going to Arkansas. He's going to do a terrific job with that football program. He was a key hire by the Razorbacks. Sonny Dykes coming into this football game, I'm a bit surprised he's coaching this game because I don't know what playbook they're going to use. Is it the Sonny Dykes shape playbook or the one that's been in that SMU coming into this football game? I think it's a little bit chaotic there right now, that situation. I like the Bulldogs in this game. I love, as you know, Skippy Holt's the best dog coaching all of college football. About 21-3 to the spread as a dog when he's off a spread win of 7 or more, taking points here. The Bulldogs have won 4 of the last 5 games straight up, end of the spread in bowl games. I think the wrong team may be favored here.
Yeah, I'm skipping to the window and taking Louisiana Tech.
Skipping to the window, I like that.
Yeah, and you know what, too? If you look back, look at the Oregon Duck game, and I read that game wrong. I like the Ducks going into that game. But look, their defense was fine. Their defense made plays because Jim Levitt was still there. Willie Taggart left, and I sort of thought, well, that's the Ducks offense. It's going to be fine. It wasn't fine. You know, the Ducks offense really struggled. I wonder, you know, about this Oklahoma, you know, I wonder about SMU because other than Oklahoma State, SMU are the only team in college football, guys, that have a quarterback that threw for 3,000 yards, 2 wide receivers with 1,000 or more yards, and a running back with 1,000 yards. So they clearly put up big numbers. On an unrelated topic, I just got to throw this at you because I'm sure, I don't know if you know this or not, but it'll kind of blow your mind probably. It blew my mind. I'm actually a Montreal Alouette fan in the Canadian Football League, Mark. We hired a new coach today. You never guess who it is. Mike Sherman.
Really?
Yeah, Mike Sherman, former Texas A&M Aggie head coach.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
With Green Bay Packers and, of course, in your neck of the woods, offensive coordinator with the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah, that's a good hire by the Alouettes, unquestionably. A lot of experience there, a lot of pedigree there, no doubt about that. Go back real quick, if you would, Gabe, to this Louisiana Tech SMU game tonight. One note, it's going to be played at the Toyota Stadium, only 20,000 seats in that stadium. It's going to be kind of cozy there. And I got a note from somebody in Texas said that him and his girlfriend were going to get married, but they wanted to do a small wedding, so they were going to do it at this bowl game tonight.
Interesting. So who's going to travel more here, do you think, to Frisco, Texas? The SMU fans, do they even care, or will Tech people show up?
I think they'll do well. They have 10,000 people in the stadium here tonight. I don't think it really is going to matter too much. I think they're going to pay attention to what's happening on the field here. 20,000 is going to make it look as empty as we see in some of these spacious bowl stadiums here. But we'll find out what this is all about. A 20,000-seat stadium might be better for these college bowl games.
I agree. I can't disagree. And I'll tell you what, I'm taking a look at the over here. You know, yeah, the team's been off for a couple of weeks, but – you know, SMU guys have allowed 31 or more points in their last five games of the year, man. So, that's something to take a look at right there. All right, let's talk. We talked about FIU. We patted ourselves on the back, Barry Horowitz style. We won't bring up that I said the Arizona Cardinals will go over the win total, but I didn't know David Johnson was going to get hurt and Palmer would get hurt. What can you do? Temple laying 7 FIU here. I respect Paul Bovey, and Bovey joined me earlier in the week or late last week, and he had his eye on this game with Temple. He likes, the new tile kid that came in for them. But I'm looking at this. I have a hard time justifying Temple Owls being a 7-point favorite here.
I do too, Gabe, especially knowing that from my database, first-year coaches in bowl games that are taking on opponents that are off underdog wins, much like Florida International is, they're just 4-15 to the spread. That's a real tough role for those guys they have to get over here. And then you've got the AAC playing the Conference USA. We talked about the Conference USA. They're now 25-12 straight up in bowl games since 2010. They're doing rather quite well. But the AAC against these guys, 4 times they've taken them on, 4 times they've lost. Wow. I think the wrong team might be favored here.
Interesting. And you talk about enthusiasm factor as well. This game's going to be taking place in St. Petersburg, Florida, home of the Tampa Bay Rays in the stadium there. You know, Temple's excited to get to a bowl game, but, you know, we're talking about a double-digit win team last year. Now here they are. You know, basically, long story short, I know the kids on FAU are going to be fired up. I know that Butch Davis wants to win this football game, and he's got to keep up with Lane Kiffin. You know, Lane Kiffin had a good year, so do these guys, and now they can put their exclamation point and get to 9 wins. You know FAU want this game. And it's a first-year coach, but is Butch Davis a first-year coach like other first-year coaches are?
Well, I would say he is a first-year coach, unquestionably, because it's the first year with the program. But the difference here is that this other coach, the coach coming in from Temple, is catching FIU off the underdog upset win. That's where they really, really struggle. You take a look at the Panthers here. They're the number one ranked team. I don't think people realize this. In red zone offense this year is Butch Davis's. I would have guessed FAU to be that team, but it's FIU, the number one red zone offense in all of college football. And you talk about Davis, 7-0 straight up, 6-1 to the spread against opponents off a straight up an ATS win. I got to like everything about the Florida International Panthers in this football game tonight.
I read this week's playbook, and we encourage you guys to do it, too. You can get it on your mobile device over to Google Store, the Playbook Cube. So let's give people an early Christmas present right now. UAB Blazers win outright on the money line. 7-point underdogs. You can get them in the plus 250 range on the money line. I think they're going to win this game outright.
I'm 100% behind you on this one, Gabe. This is the feel-good story of the year in college football. UAB Blazers back from the dead in impressive fashion, going to a bowl game, going to the Bahamas, no less. They were allowed to get there earlier than other teams because it's an international game. They had to get their passports in order and everything. So they've been there a while. They've been accustomed to the island, if you will. UAB, a well-coached team. Bill Clark done a terrific job with this program here. I think, again, the wrong team is favored here. I think the Blazers go out in blazing style.
A lot of bad numbers. I'll tell you one thing. I know I don't even have to look at the database to know. MAC teams don't do well in bowl games, man. Yeah, they don't.
They don't. They struggle. They really, really struggle. In fact, the Bobcats themselves, when they got rest and they're taking on a bowl team from this Conference USA, 0-3. But MAC teams have really struggled in bowl games. A little bit better here of late, but on the whole, terrible as favorites.
We had some great games. I remember the first Bahamas Bowl, the Popeyes Bahamas Bowl. Remember Western Kentucky and Central Michigan, that great game with Cooper Rush, Western Kentucky, Brandon Doherty going back and forth. Western Michigan and Middle Tennessee State put up a boatload of points. Then last year, Old Dominion and Eastern Michigan, a little bit lower scoring. I think this one does open up a little bit. And, you know, UAB and Bill Clark, I mean, you know, coach of the year, you know he's going to throw the kitchen sink in this game. Fake punts, you know, go for it on fourth down. I imagine the Blazers are really going to go for it and go for the win here.
I think they're going to put an exclamation point on their outstanding season they've had here. And remember this, since Ohio U has hired Frank Solich as their head coach, he's done a great job with the program. There's no doubt about that. But when he gets to a bowl game, he just tanks. He's 2-6 in his 8 games to the spread in bowl games is Ohio University. I don't see how he makes improves in that number in this game this week.
All right, so speaking of numbers, we'll go through, just crunch a little number here. Colts and Ravens is 13.5. I like the Saturday night dog better because they're at home here. But even with that being stated, this isn't college football. There's no one's voting. Harbaugh doesn't need to impress anybody. He just needs to win the damn football game. I guess they could just come out and annihilate the Colts and win 27-3 or something like that. But I don't know. You're not getting rich laying 13.5 with Joe Flacco. I'll tell you that much.
Well, I'll tell you this, you know, if Baltimore wins out, they're going to make the playoffs. That's what they know going in. But there's no reason for the win by 14 points, as you mentioned here. Take a look at the Ravens coming in here, Gabe. Since their bye week, they've won 4 of 5 games, but they're out-yarded in 4 of those 5 games. They've won them in phony fashion here. You've got the Colts have been really, really good in last road games. They've won straight up and covered 4 years in a row in their final road game of the season here. I got to look at the Colts in this football game. I don't think Baltimore has a reason to punch this team out.
And we should note, too, the Baltimore Ravens are 2-8 against the spread the last 10 times they've been double-digit favorites. It's not a neighborhood that Harbaugh and Flacco live in. This one's interesting. And I talked with a good friend of yours and my Dave Malinsky yesterday about this. And I said, if I'm the Packers, I shut Aaron Rodgers down. And this is before they did. And I said, or maybe you play him in the first quarter for the fans and sort of okay, but you just don't want to risk injury with Aaron Rodgers in a meaningless football game. But I think that the lines makers have overreacted a little bit with Minnesota laying 9 and similar fashion right now to what we just talked about with the Baltimore Ravens. They don't need to win by 10 on the road. The Packers are going to play with pride. There's a lot of teams that would quit. I don't think the Packers quit on a Saturday night, Christmas weekend, national television. Brett Hundley started to get, he was hit or miss, but I think they're comfortable with Hundley in there in this spot. I think the number's too high at 9 points, Mark.
I agree totally with you, Gabe, here. Hundley has improved since made his first start, unquestionably. He has confidence right now, and I also think he goes out and wins one for Aaron Rodgers. It was Minnesota that leveled and broke his collarbone earlier.
Exactly.
You know, so, this could be a payback, and his buddy Brett Hundley can deliver the package here in this football game.
And if you're Green Bay too, Mark, it was tough. You know, you hung in there, but I think you learned something about yourselves. You know what? You learned, hey, this Hundley kid's got some guts. You know, he ran for first downs. He got us there. Hundley put them in a position where, hey, here, Rodgers is back, guys. And Rodgers wasn't 100%. So I almost think, too, that the team will play for Hundley and go, you know what, this guy's a good kid, man. He busted his ass for us trying to get, you know, waiting for Rodgers. He's a good teammate. And another thing with Green Bay is no one's getting fired. It's not like, oh, this is a disaster. They're not going to be angry after Mark. You know what I mean? No one's worried about a coach getting fired. Maybe a couple of guys on the defense could get replaced for alignment, but they're still a cohesive team that'll be like, you know, it's just not our year. We got hurt. We'll be back next year. They're playing at home. And also, I think they can – all the pressure's off them now. They can go out there and have a little fun. I think if they play loose, it helps them getting 9 points. I really like the Packers in this spot.
Yeah, I think they can tee off on Minnesota in this spot as well, Gabe. And how nice would this game have been had – Green Bay still been alive, you know Aaron Rodgers would be behind center. He'd be there to rally his team.
They would have beaten Minnesota, I think. If they would have won last week, I wouldn't have bet against Rodgers at home in this spot.
No way would I have. And, in fact, Green Bay would have been a four-point favorite in this game.
And then they would have beaten Detroit next week, too. They would have gotten in. I sincerely believe it. Carolina's just that good right now. Carolina said none. Carolina was like Mutombo. No. You guys aren't getting in.
Exactly. But take it for what it is. There's a lot of value with the Green Bay Packers in this football game.
There really is. All right. So let's just quickly on this one. And I agree with pretty much everything in the playbook this week. And you and I often think the same as the angles. I was, you know, last week, I didn't think Minnesota was going to drill Cincinnati like they did. But I didn't take Cincinnati. But I thought it was pretty gutless of them. Just, you know, hours after Marvin Lewis tells him, listen, I'm going to step down, guys. They basically cost this guy's job. And then they roll over and they get blasted like they did. Now they go back home. This is the last home game of the year. This is it. This is going to be Andy Dalton's last game. Dalton's not going to be a Bengal next year. A.J. McCarron is suing them. No one talks about it, but he's actually suing the team. He's not going to be there. He's not like the future quarterback. Marvin Lewis is gone. This is it. If they have any freaking pride at all, and I'm not, I don't know if they do, but if they have any pride at all, they show up for Marvin Lewis in his last home game and Dalton's last home game here.
This is win one for the Gipper game, unquestionably, here for Cincinnati here. And you got to also love the fact that with Lewis in December, when they've been a home dog, they've been in that role eight times. They're 7-1 to the spread, taking points at home. And I think to talk about value in this football game, Gabe, go back and look at the lines at Cantor Gaming before the season began. Cincinnati was a 3-point favorite in this football game. Now, we know what they've done to not warrant that. But what has Detroit done to warrant going out and laying these kind of points in this kind of a football game? I think Detroit is a phony, overrated football team, never any good on the road. And I think they get exposed in this football game.
All right, we've only got a couple of minutes left, and I always appreciate your time. So we'll just blast through them. One more NFL game and then two quick NBA tidbits. Chargers and Jets. Chargers coming off that, you know, heartbreaking loss. Yeah, they're still in playoff contention, but now they got to come east. And here's another scenario. Like, you know, the Raiders are going to quit, guys. I think the Raiders will get killed, and it's going to be raining and cold on Monday night, on Christmas night. They're not going to be interested in this. The New York Jets were supposed to be 2-14. They've already exceeded expectations. They come into this game happy. They're like, hey, guys, hey, we shocked everyone. I can't wait till next year. We get draft picks. We're going to be even better. We might, you know, like, think they're positive right now. Chargers are under the gun. Chargers have never been a good favorite, let alone laying 7 on the road. It's down to 6.5 now. I love the Jets in their last home game of the year.
I got to like them too, Gabe. It's been 4 years in a row they've cashed that ticket in last home games. And, in fact, look at what they've done this year. 7 home games, they've won 4 of them straight up. All 4 of those wins, straight up underdog wins. I think the Jets take the Chargers right down to the wire.
All right, and we got about a minute left here. Magic and Bulls. Bulls on a 6-game win streak. I've been riding the wave with these guys. Now they get a Magic squad that's lost 5 in a row. I know Chicago's 5-12 against the spread off a straight-up underdog win when facing the Magic. But Mirotic averaging 24.3 and 9.5 boards since he's come back. And I think it's a fair number. I know that, okay, this team's been hot and they've been underdogs. Now suddenly they're favorites. But Orlando's really banged up, and it's only 5 points. I'm laying the 5 with the Bulls.
Well, you got the Magic just 3-16 straight up the last 19 games. They're playing as bad as anybody in the league right now. But I'm going to caution you here. One thing, note, Gabe, that Chicago's been favored only 2 times this year. The last time they were favored against Phoenix, they lost the whole game straight up. They might be a little bit full of themselves right now.
Lakers and Rockets. Rockets are gunning for their 15th consecutive win, and I guess it's fitting because the point spread's now been bet up to 15. I know I read the Coffee Club, and man, the Rockets dominate the Lakers, but it's a lot of points, but they really are just killing teams. Can you lay 15 here?
Well, you know, 19-11, the Rockets, double-digit favorites the last 30 times. You could take double digits with the Lakers. They're 5-9 taking double digits. Everything fits to the Houston Rockets here. It's not my kind of a game where I'm going to go out and lay doubles, but all I put it in the Coffee Club for was to say don't bet the Lakers.
Yeah, I'll be keeping my eye on the end game on this one and see how I approach it. Mark, it's always a pleasure. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to you and your family. And we'll speak to you. We'll speak to you next week, actually.
Likewise, Gabe. Hope Santa's good to you this week. Let's hope the ball bounces our way. Be good.
He won't be, but thanks for joining us anyway. Actually, you know what? It's funny. I got to go out Christmas shopping for myself. What are these deals? Everyone's going to be gone. I'm like, man, I got to go on this trip. I got to do this. I need some boots. I'm going to go to Walmart. One-stop shop. And you know what? If anyone's like, oh, support mom and pops. There are no mom and pops. I would. All right? You know, I need a pair of boots. I go to mom and pop on Queen Street. I'm going to come out of here with $800 Italian boots. You know, everything's designer mom and pop. I just need nice and simple. All right? Chris Meany's going to join us in studio. Nice and simple.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome Chris Meany into the studio. Let's get right down to business because Chris is going to stay with us for two segments. We'll talk some NFL DFS in a couple of minutes, but I wanted to talk some hockey and some expansion facts as far as just what Las Vegas are actually doing right now. And I'm going to tell you, Meany, nobody expected this. Jared Gallant didn't expect this. Dave Poyle didn't expect this. Foley didn't expect this. Bettman didn't expect this. The odds makers in Vegas didn't expect this. Fans in Vegas didn't expect this. Nobody expected this.
Do you remember the Super Bowl prop? What was it, Freeman rushing yards or Vegas points? Like, that's, I mean, do you remember that?
Yeah, that's true.
And everyone was like, oh, you got to take Freeman. You got to take the over.
How many rushing yards
did he
get? 53?
Yeah, it wasn't much. I'm not 100% sure on the number. It was definitely under 100. But it's amazing because nobody thought that. Nobody thought that at all. I mean, even Vegas, you said it, even Vegas, and now they're in a situation where they picked guys at the expansion draft. They picked guys that they were going to flip and sell.
I know.
James Neal, Perron. They picked guys that they were going to deal at the deadline for first-round picks.
And they made a lot of deals, actually, at the draft, building for the future. Like, this wasn't – it's like some franchises come in and, like, we got to sell tickets. We can't suck early. And they get a bunch of vets that – you know, might be good for a year or two, but down the road, your expansion team's in a lot of trouble. They didn't do that. They actually were pretty patient with everything.
Yeah, they were. They were really patient with everything. And again, like Jonathan Marchessault is an unrestricted free agent who was a 30-goal scorer with the Panthers
the year
before.
You can't trade him.
And yeah, that's exactly. What are you going to tell your fans now? You're in it. You're the second-best team in the NHL, according to the points. You just beat the best team in the NHL.
It would be like the
ice.
Buffalo Bills, like benching Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah.
Listen, we're really not, like, that's, it would be the same thing like McDermott. Like, McDermott basically said, well, listen, we're not really a playoff team, right? I mean, we're really not that good. You guys are kind of fooling yourselves. They can't do this now.
No, they can't.
They're all in.
They're all in, and they have the best record on home ice. Yeah, and to what they've done with their goaltending as well, I mean, how many goalies have they gone through? Four or five goalies.
Every one of them.
They called
good.
Up somebody from the AHL who is like a 16-year-old kid who didn't even touch the ice and just as
can't even
as
keep
the backup.
Up. You had the Oscar Dance guy.
They had Dance. They had Malcolm Subban.
Malcolm Subban, Legacy, or what's
Legacy or Legacy is
Legacy,
what they call
him. Exactly.
And then they call the kid from the WHL.
Yeah, the WHL kid.
And playing for BC. It's
well, they're like a hot gambler in Vegas. Everything's working for them. So listen, they're 22-9-0-2 right now. They're 14-2-1 at home. And what's crazy, you keep thinking, okay, they must have a really tough road stretch coming up. They don't. They really don't. They did the Eastern Canada thing.
They went through one, yeah.
They were in Toronto. They were in Montreal. So they've done Eastern Canada. They've done Western Canada. They've done a couple of different trips already. Their only real road trip they have left is they go to the South. You know, they get Carolina, Tampa Bay, and Florida, and, you know, that type of stuff. NASCAR division. But, you know, there's really nothing devastating for them. They're going to make the playoffs. Now, I've been telling people that they're probably the best expansion team in the history of any sport of any time. And for the record, the best expansion team in any sport ever happens to be in the NHL, the 1993 Florida Panthers, 93-94, team that Canes won a cup.
Yeah.
John Van Beesbrook and the Panthers. Jagr, Van Beesbrook, and Doug McClain was the coach.
Yeah, and Mellenby, who is with the Habs now, was good. And you know what? 3 years after that, they're playing in the Stanley Cup Finals.
They did, yeah. So they set the record. Now, to put it in perspective, and I talked about this off the intro, and I'm old enough to remember this team, was the Washington Capitals won 8 games in their first year, 21 overall points. Major League Baseball, the best expansion team ever, only won 70 games. You have to go all the way back to 1961, the Los Angeles Angels at the time. And, you know, they were the L.A. Angels. Then they were the California Angels. Then they were the Anaheim Angels. Then they were the California Angels. And what are they
then
now?
Then they were the Anaheim Angels of Los Angeles, and now they're just
hard
the
to keep
Los
up.
Angeles
now they're
Angels.
You're not the Los Angeles. You're making, not in Los Angeles.
Making moves, by the way. Having a busy offseason.
Yeah, what's the deal with this Japanese dude?
Ohtani?
Yeah, Ohtani.
Well.
So they won the bid for him. They win him. And then, like, the next day, they're like, oh, I don't know. He might be hurt after
all. Yeah, well, apparently every team knew about, you know, they tested his elbow, and every team.
So he's going to be good for this.
They all
no problem?
Saw the record. Apparently, I mean, the Angels are open to a 6-man rotation. Maybe that helps them. But the biggest thing is no team backed out knowing the risk and knowing that you get him at minimum cost for the next 6 to 7 years.
I want to see Marino start throwing some money around again.
Well, he just acquired Kinsler. They got Cozart. They re-signed Justin Upton. They actually are throwing around
need
some
money.
Need
some pitching.
They do need some pitching. That's their biggest downfall.
Need some pitching. All right, you know, all those Yankees. Yeah, they get a lot of home runs. They also struck out nearly 700 times between the three of them. All right, so, yeah, the best expansion team ever was the Angels in 61. And it's funny, so the Mets probably thought, hey, this will be easy in 62. Yeah. They won 40 games. That's why I was so crazy when the Mets finally won, when they won the miracle Mets.
Right, yeah.
It was like, oh, holy crap, no one saw that coming.
Nobody saw that coming, no.
All right, NBA, 33 wins. Worst. The Bulls in 1966 won 33 games. The Washington Grizzlies, 15 wins, 1995.
Vancouver.
Oh, yeah, the Washington Grizzlies.
Vancouver Grizzlies. I had a Grizzlies basketball. You know, when the Raptors and the Grizzlies came out, they had, like, these basketballs came out with, like, Shaq's imprint. I had a Grizzlies one with, like, Mike Bibby's autograph on it, and I was so pumped as a kid. They were brutal. They were awful. Steve Francis was involved with that.
Well, Steve Francis said, I'll never play
I'll never
for
play.
Vancouver, and
like
they drafted them anyways.
Thing. Yeah, I'll never play.
They drafted them anyways.
Yeah.
You know what's funny? Steve Francis is actually at a bar in Toronto. We were doing a live sports show, and Steve Francis is there for some reason. And he's watching, like, a football game. And it was years. And this is Toronto, not even Vancouver, and people were harassing him.
Really?
Well, you don't like Canada, man? You don't want to play in Vancouver? What's your problem, man? And he actually, like, told people F off and stuff.
Yeah.
He got sick of it.
He got I bet you he got that a lot. Yeah, I mean, people were probably ticked off. I mean, this is a new franchise in Canada, and you're just like, no thanks.
You know what they screwed up? Because the Raptors' first ever player they took was Damon Stoudemire, Mighty Mouse.
Yeah, and he was good.
He was good.
Yeah, he was really good.
First ever player that the Grizzlies took, Big Country Bryant Reeves. Not so good.
Not so good. I remember the Mavs were rumored to take him, I think, because they were pretty bad at that time as well. And I think it was like a year or two after
that.
Time? Dirk.
Sorry, Meany. What do you mean?
Well, right now they are pretty bad. Yeah, we'll give you that one. Yeah, I'll give you that one.
Mark Cuban, man. Guy should spend less time bitching about the NFL and more time worried about his own team. Less time on Shark Tank, more time on his own team.
He was asked if he wanted to you know, own an NFL team when the Carolina Panthers thing came out, and he said, no, why would I own an NFL team? They're going downhill. I don't want anything to do with them. It's interesting.
Yeah, I can buy into his bashing, but your team sucks.
Yeah.
And you're a big rich guy that's done nothing here, and you've ruined Dirk.
They've
Nowitzki's
just held
career.
On to Dirk, yeah, over and over, and they've gotten older players. Yeah, they'll rebuild over the next few years. Why do you think this Vegas team is so good? It's funny that we're talking about this right now because the Players Tribune, an article came out this morning from David Perron, and he was talking about how devastated he was when he got the call from St. Louis that they couldn't protect him. He said he was in the middle of nowhere on a lake, and he was bummed.
Yeah.
He said, oh, I got this call. I thought I did everything that I could do to play with the Blues. I got this call. I'm not going to be with the Blues. I got to go play with Vegas. This is going to be a mess, basically, is what he's saying. And then it got closer to the expansion, and it was like, basically, you're 100% you're going to be selected by Vegas. And he immediately texted Fleury, who he spent some time with in Pittsburgh, and said, Vegas, ? And Fleury said, Vegas, baby, with 4 exclamation marks. Like, get ready. It's going to be awesome. And what Perron was saying is that everybody on this team is playing with, like, a true chip on their shoulder. Think about
it.
All those players
good point, yeah.
That they were just cut let loose from their teams, and most of them didn't get the playing time that they deserve, like an Eric Halla between Neil and Perron, just proving themselves.
Good, very good point.
It's a fun team to watch, and a lot of them are just – Glenn is the perfect coach for them, too.
Then we got to get out of here. We'll come back with meeting and talk football. But and the fact, they're 14-2-1 at home.
Yeah.
You can't discount the old Vegas flu. And people – but the only thing is, look, Tampa Bay Lightning went out and got wasted the night before. They didn't post pictures, but chicks did. Hey, look, I met a guy – I met Stamkos and stuff. So –
you wonder if the second time around in Vegas things will change. You get that first trip under your belt, and then the second time around.
I don't know. You think these guys are professionals, and they go to Vegas anyways all the time, and they have the award show there. But they're 14-2-1 at home, man.
Yeah, it's hard to ignore.
Good call, though. The time, the second time around, the third time around. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk some NFL DFS with Meany.
I was trying to find that Freeman thing, if you want to say it off the top here.
Oh, yeah, how many yards? I know. It's crazy. I remember that.
I remember that when we were talking about it. We were debating. We're like, there's no chance.
Well, I remember laughing like because they were 120 and the Canadians were like 80 or something. I was like, fuck, they're kind of close, Vegas. Vegas are 22-1 to win a cup, man.
I know. It's an amazing story.
All right, here, let's jump in here. We're kind of running late.
All right.
I can find it in a sec. Here, fuck off.
I got it here, anyways. You can give her.
You got it?
Yeah.
Yeah, what was it? 53s, 56?
Of course, the phone froze. Come on. Got no internet in here, Sean.
All right, let it go.
Yeah, let it go.
All right. We roll in 3, 2, 1.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues, as does our conversation with Chris Meany. We could have went on and on talking about the Vegas Golden Knights and different expansion
75 rushing
teams.
Yards.
Meany's been trying to track down 75. So
Freeman, what he had. I know we're not talking about it anymore. 49 games left. If they just win half, they get to 96 points.
Yeah. And the record, so the expansion record is 83 in the National Hockey League. As we mentioned, 1993 Florida Panthers. So NFL DFS Week 16. Elliott is back from Cabo. Returns after his 6-week absence, was in Cabo. I'm not sure why he went there. I mean, this is the type of guy I'd want my eye on. Not like, oh, yeah, I trust him to go get ready. A lot of people are saying, oh, he's going to light Seattle up because they saw Gurley 4 touchdowns, 180 all-purpose yards. I don't like picking on teams, dude, that got humiliated in the fashion that Seattle did.
Yeah.
And I kind of look at Elliott as a question mark here. What's your take on Elliott this week?
I like him. I mean, I know exactly where you're going with that. I mean,
I saw the quote was, I'm ready for 80 touches.
80 touches, and, you know, Dez said something about, you know, his head is extremely big.
And
right
he's leaner.
He's leaner.
Yeah.
He looks in shape. They were talking about the broadcast on the Dallas game last week, and they were showing some pictures, and he does actually look pretty good. But I'm all for Zeke this week. I mean, you're getting him at a low cost because he hasn't played in a long time. I think they it's almost like they made the pricing thinking, okay, Gurley
it's
wasn't going to be able
cheap,
to go 8, 000, up.
But
I mean, even on FanDuel too. I know we're talking DraftKings, but there's other backs that are more expensive than him. I think he goes back.
You're
to
right.
What,
no, you're right. He's like the fourth or fifth.
Yeah,
back
I think he goes
him.
Back to what he was doing before. I mean, he's a lock for 20 plus touches. He's going to be involved in the passing game. This is a must-win situation, and it's not the same Seattle defense. It's not. You don't have Cam Chancellor. Don't have Sherman. These guys are fighting with each
Bobby
other.
Bobby Wagner and Earl Thomas.
They're
fighting
calling
without
each other
the
out.
Right guy. Yeah.
There's a Ram that said it was almost like they played the Cleveland Browns last week. That is just a slap in the face. Just extremely disrespectful. I mean, this Seattle team is not good defensively at all. Their offensive line is bad. And I think that Zeke goes back to being one of the most trusted backs. And I think you have to pay up this week on running backs. Over the past couple weeks, like Kenyon Drake, Jamal Williams, they've been cheap.
They've been rolling
guys
the
are
dice,
up,
yeah.
Nah, they're up now in price. I think, you know, obviously Gurley, it's a tough matchup against the Titans. But so was it against the Seattle, too. I mean, Gurley, you're playing in the full slate. Bell, Zeke, Freeman is still affordable. Who knows about
Coleman?
I think
Bell now is a must-play with Brown out.
Absolutely.
Now he becomes the, there's much more passes to him, and he's going to,
the
volume,
the
usage
is going to
go
up. The last 4 weeks, absolutely. And nobody's given up more rushing yards than the Texans. So I think to spend up at the position, whether it's Zeke, Gurley, or Bell, it's a must. It's what you have to do at this time of the year.
All right, Michael Thomas is starting to light it up right now. Yeah. Three straight weeks with touchdowns. Little too late there, Michael. Thanks.
You had him in fantasy.
Oh, dude, I loaded up.
He couldn't find the end zone this year. Drew Brees.
And he was good, but he and the running backs, and he was getting used to the double teams.
Yeah.
But every week, I mean, he had five catches or more basically on a weekly basis.
Yeah.
We're consistent, five or six for 70, 80 yards. But now he's really just sort of manning up and, like, taking the ball. Like, it goes up, he goes up, he grabs it.
Yeah.
He's got great hands. Three straight weeks of touchdowns. I think he has a big game. I think he gets in the end zone again against the Atlanta Falcons this week. There's going to be points put up on the board in this game.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be like the last game that, you know, Kamara got knocked out of that game early and they really struggled offensively. So it's a high total. I'm with you. I mean, he's been one of the most consistent wide receivers this year. It's just the touchdowns, like you said. It's a good defense, and with the Saints this year, we're not used to seeing, and they have a run game. So, yeah, I like Thomas. He's one of the safest wide receivers, and with no Antonio Brown, I mean, you just spend up and you play Michael Thomas.
I was surprised to see Russell Wilson at.
He's the most expensive on DK and FanDuel.
What is the dude? They're coming off this big loss.
I know.
It's not like they have an explosive offense. What is the thinking behind this? I don't understand
that. It's just from he's been the most consistent quarterback. I mean, if you look on DraftKings, you look at FanDuel, he's averaging the most points, 24. It's exactly what he had against the Jaguars in a tough matchup. I think they're just chalking it up to the fact that, yeah, it was a little rainy in Seattle. He doesn't do well and with the rain, but a divisional matchup. And here he goes into Dallas in what is a nice spot. I mean, they rank in the bottom 10 against the pass. And it's just because everything comes through him, Gabe. You look at Brady.
Everything.
You look at Brady,
right.
And they could run the ball this weekend. And Brady struggled against the Bills a couple weeks ago.
No, and the way to attack the Bills is to run the ball, not throw on them. Exactly.
Exactly. So there's just that consistency there with Russell Wilson. He's a fade.
He's like
in my opinion.
Point guard on a bad team that's the only player. You know what I mean?
Heading into last week,
he
had 87% of the team's yards from scrimmage. It's unheard of.
Yeah.
He had every touchdown but one. He's a fade for me. He's too expensive for me. I would look
elsewhere. What QBs are you looking at?
I like Blake Bortles.
I was on Bortles last week.
Good on you. Yeah.
And you know what's funny? I had it down. I always consider two guys. I swear, man, my lineups have sucked. But if I just gave, like, these are my sleepers, I'd look like
you're
a genius.
Because
I'm always missing a guy. I told people, forget about all the big names. Two quarterbacks, Nick Foles or Blake Bortles. Either one of them would have been big for you.
Nick Foles has more fantasy. He has 21 game this year. And Matt Ryan hasn't even hit the 20-point mark this year.
Except
and he hasn't
this
had
week,
one three
I think,
passing touchdowns.
I think the Eagles blow the Raiders out on Monday night.
And they maybe just lean on the run a little bit?
Big time. It's going to be pouring rain. It's going to be nasty weather.
Yeah.
They wrap up home field with the win.
Yeah.
Raiders are going to roll over and quit. It's going to be a blowout. They can't get Foles hurt.
Yeah.
I think you're better. It's a heavy dose of Ajayi and Blunt, specifically Blunt, I think.
I can get behind that. Bortles is my guy. The second most fantasy points in the last 4 weeks.
Against San Francisco.
Unbelievable.
You like this,
huh? 8 touchdowns, 1 interception, two rushing touchdowns. Blake Bortles, it's unreal. It's crazy what's going on. You could be in a fantasy championship week in season-long league, and you could have Foles and Bortles as the quarterbacks. It's crazy. I'm into picking on these teams, Gabe, on the way out that are just checked out. The Bengals are checked out. They're done. They can't stop anybody. I like Tate. I like Jones. I like Teon Green as a sleeper play. And the same thing with the Packers. Just these teams are just checked out. They're already eliminated from the playoffs.
You know what? I think the Packers are going to give the Vikings all they can handle.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think from a fantasy perspective it's a wise to pick on Minnesota. But, yeah, they're playing with house money now, man. They've been eliminated. They're going to have some fun, put on a show for the fans. Brett Hundley doesn't completely suck.
No, and Cobb is interesting in that.
And now, don't forget, Minnesota's playing for something. They don't like each other.
No, they don't.
They're the ones that knocked Rodgers out, so they don't think for a second they wouldn't mind just putting someone on their ass
on
the way
out. It's a good point. Yeah, they're not going to die. They're not going to roll over.
And you got a Packers team. It's like they can go for a fake punt or something.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? It's like, you're all nervous, but I don't care, man. I'll go for a fake punt. Hey, gotcha.
That's a good call.
Play with house money, getting 9 points. A lot of points will come back with our plays of the day next.
The award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network is your free fantasy source 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. You can catch this show and many others live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn Radio. Want to listen on your computer at work? Go to fntsy.com/radio or check us out on YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page, where you can ask questions, discuss topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your questions on the air. The number is 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 days a year fantasy sports network of its kind without a subscription. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your fantasy source.
What's up, everybody? I am Gabriel Morenci. It's time for my plays of the day. Put your bowling shoes on. We're going to the bowling alley. We're going to take Louisiana Tech plus 150 on the money line. Screw the 3.5 points. Give me the plus 150 on the money line. Let's go Louisiana Tech and SMU over the number as well. Should be a real track meet tonight in Frisco, Texas. I'm not a proponent of college football teasers, but I like this one. Give me Louisiana Tech plus 10.5 over 64.5 as well. NBA basketball, the Chicago Bulls are red hot. They've won 6 in a row. Yeah, now they're laying 5. I don't have a problem with that. Orlando have lost 5 in a row. Give me the Bulls minus 5. Give me the Nets minus 5. Sacramento won at Philadelphia last night. Tough spot for them going into Brooklyn tonight. Lay the 5 with the Nets. Plus 1 with the Pistons against the Mavericks. The Mavericks shouldn't be favored against Kentucky, let alone an NBA team. Spurs getting points at Portland. The Rose Garden, it's got thorns, man. Portland's not the dominant home court it used to be anymore. NCAA basketball, UNLV is going to absolutely destroy Mississippi Valley State. We're going to lay the 31. NHL hockey, Blue Jackets beat a Leaf team that played yesterday afternoon. Other than that, you're on your own. May the winners be yours.